This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
Well, coming up in our second half hour, we are going to talk about an entrepreneurial panel that Guada is going to be hosting coming up in about a week or so. And, boy, if you've thought about starting your business, we'll tell you why you might want to attend. You'll learn some great information. That's coming up in our second half hour. First, though, it's time to meet another candidate on the ballot, this time in the Eastmont School District. Peter Smith is running for the District 5 at-large seat. We've got three candidates in that race. Peter, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Hi, Dave. Thank you for inviting me.
You bet. You bet. Let's talk a little bit about your background. You are with the Washington State Department of Transportation.
That is correct. I've worked there since 1991. I've lived here in East Wenatchee since 96 with my wife, Vicki. We've had two boys that have went through Eastmont, very different experiences, but nonetheless, we're well tied to the valley here.
All right. What do you do for the DOT?
I am a surveyor. I've, like I said, worked there 28-plus years and have done a variety of duties, inspection and different engineering. It's all been in engineering.
Make sure the roads match up where they're supposed to. And
make the maps
kind of stuff.
So the engineers can do what they do and, you know, then execute and lay out all their designs and plans, make the world safer.
Okay. All righty. Well, we appreciate the work you do. And are you ever out there when the road, when the vehicles are buzzing by?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes.
Well, stay safe out there.
Yes. That's slow down for them, please.
Yes. That can be very dangerous work. So I hope you stay safe along with your crew members. So why did you decide to throw your hat in the ring? I think like a lot of the school board candidates, you had kids go through the school district. So you've been a parent. So why did you decide to run?
Sure, Dave. Yeah, no, like I say, both boys that have went through Eastmont School District have had very different experiences. You know, one boy was much more vocational. My youngest, he was more of a running start student. You know, he just recently graduated with his transfer degree. So I've had a lot of experience with that. And like I said, my wife, Vicki, she is a para educator at the junior high. So we've been involved with the school district for, you know, some time, and I've seen some challenges, and I definitely see some issues coming up in the horizon that I think I may have some skills that may be beneficial. I think I can help.
You're getting an interesting insight, not only as a parent, your wife is a paraeducator, and your two boys had different experiences, or, you know, not every kid is the same as they as they move through. Well, what do you see concerns or maybe that sets you apart from maybe some of the other candidates in this race?
Well, I think one thing that I've noticed that is a different opinion that I hold than maybe some of the other candidates. I am very much pro security and safety for our schools, not just our students but our staff as well. I think we're lacking the security maybe we need. We don't really have resource officers. We don't have a solid agreement or a plan from our local law enforcement. I see a lot of activities for training with the college, with the Wenatchee High School, not so much on the east side. I think we need to step that up, do a better job. We also have a huge capital improvement budget. There's a lot of changes that are going on within the school district. And I think my construction background really brings a different perspective. I'm much more familiar with, you know, the different design reports and all the challenges that construction is going to bring in this valley.
So back to school safety. Do you think the kids are safe, or are you concerned that maybe they aren't as safe as they could be?
I think they do everything in their power to keep our students safe and secure every day. That being said, we live in a dangerous world, and I think we need to prepare. And I'm not saying that I want to see armed SWAT walking up and down the halls, but I think it is appropriate to have some sort of plan in place on site, because whatever the best intentions are, if they're two blocks away, they're still two blocks away.
So if you are successful in making it through the August primary and into the November general election, that'd be something that you'd like to see discussed at the school board level. How can we improve security or address school resource officers district-wide or just at the high school, or maybe your thoughts on that?
Well, don't get me wrong. It's not that the school district hasn't, the board hasn't already looked at this. I just think that we need to take another look at it. I don't think it's maybe the priority that it should be. And I think I can serve better as a voice for at least looking into that possibility. As far as what they're currently doing, you know, that the steps that they're taking now are incremental, and they are proving to keep our kids safe.
So talk about your, again, background with the Department of Transportation as an engineer. Again, a few more benefits you think you bring to the table as opposed to some of the other candidates in the race for the District 5 at-large position. When it comes to looking over budgets and capital expenditures, that maybe makes you the best candidate to check off here first off for the August 6th primary and looking over those, whether they be construction dockets and proposals and things like that.
Sure. I think that I'm a big proponent that people should do what they do best. I am not an educator, so I do not know best how to educate a student. Administration, you know, that's why we have Mr. Christensen, who's doing, I would say, a stellar job thus far. Put the right people in the right jobs. So whatever we do, as far as that goes, you know, it needs to match up with the needs that we have.
What kind of, communication style do you, employ with your coworkers and on the job that you would utilize as a school board member in terms of being responsive to parents and constituents and school staff, and kind of tying that all together? Remember, you're going to be contacted by the Eastmont teachers and staff, but also parents too. You serve a lot of different interests when you're on the school board.
Most definitely. I think a lot of times we take our school board for granted. They put in a lot of long hours, and it's at times a thankless job. They truly have the best interest of the community at heart. That's one thing that also got me involved in this race was the fact that there is no incumbent that we are running against. You know, this is a chance for a clean slate for a new voice on the board. So it's not a referendum against anything that has been done to this point so much as it is a new look going forward.
So what's your kind of communication style, do you think, Peter? How would coworkers describe you, do you think? And
That could be dangerous. Yeah, I'm not sure we want to poll my coworkers.
Don't worry, we're not going to open up the phone lines.
Yeah, that's a good plan. No, I definitely am very collaborative. You know, I everyone's input is valuable. You know, inclusiveness is a big thing in our work group at the DOT because people have different backgrounds, different outlooks, and everybody has valuable input. That being said, there still has to be somebody that makes the decision in the end. And I think if we give the tools and the resources to the staff, they will do an excellent job with our students.
So you mentioned you had two kids go through the school district.
Yes.
Did the district serve your youngsters well? Do you think they got a good education? You said one was a little bit more of a running start. The other one was kind of a vocational, and every kid is different. How do you think the district is performing overall in general for kids academically?
I would say that there are areas that can be improved, but I think by and large they did an excellent job educating my boys anyway. I think the main difference in their educational experience stems more from their own personalities. And they were able to basically find their own niche within the school system. So I think that was a credit to, you know, everything that they've got in place now.
Other changes or initiatives would you try to, I guess, spirit or support? I'm glad I brought my little glass of water in here. While you answer, I'm going to take a sip. But what other initiatives or projects would you be interested in trying to see the school board approach or kind of pilot if you are successful this fall?
Sure. Yeah. One thing I'd like to see is the school board involvement. I don't want to make it sound like, you know, that they're not involved now. They do a ton. But I really appreciate Dr. Christensen's model when he goes out and hands out the paychecks to each employee, regardless of where you're at in your organization, to put a name to the face and shake a hand and make it personable. And I think the board needs to have a little more outreach. But, you know, that's just my own personal opinion. So,
if you were on the board, how would you go about doing something similar? Have you thought about maybe how could I do that if I was on the board, have more outreach to members of the community in my role as school board member?
Oh, exactly. I love Dr. Christensen's model. You know, I wouldn't mind making the rounds with him a time or two, going around and seeing all the different staff. Anything we can do that can bring in more inclusiveness to this is beneficial. We also have to, I think, seriously figure a way to integrate our Spanish-speaking students and families more into the process. When I've been to board meetings over the years, I haven't seen a lot of representation, and that's a big part of our population. How are they being served, and how do we know where they're being served?
Would you have run if there hadn't been the openings on the board? Have you been given this a thought for some time, or did you decide there's an open seat? We've got some transition time. How long has this been in your thought process?
Well, I can honestly say that politics is absolutely the furthest thing from my mind. You know, that's not my thing. I'm a great armchair quarterback, and my family and my sons have heard me voice my opinions over different things. As this race opened up, I would just happen to be taking notice, and with all the press we've had with people not even running for position, it just got to a point where my son looked at me and says, well, why don't you do something about it, Dad? So I had to put up or shut up. So I did.
When your kids say, why don't you do something about it, it's pretty hard.
It's in your face at that point.
Yeah, you have to gulp and say, you know, I'm being called out. I better put up or shut up. That's a good way of putting it.
Exactly.
So let's let folks know, how do they get in touch with Peter Smith, who's running for Eastmont School Board, the District 5 at-large race? Three candidates in the primary on the ballots, which will be going out just about a week from now.
Yeah.
If they want to support you, again, only two of the three candidates move on to the November general election. How do they get in touch with you?
Well, first and foremost, I want to make sure everybody gets out there and votes. You know, regardless who you vote for, just participate in the process. That's a great freedom that we need to take full advantage of. I don't have a Facebook page or a website or anything like that, but I would love to hear from anybody at my email. It is petersmith4@gmail.com. And, you know, any comments or anything, I'll read them. I'll respond.
Okay, so let's repeat that again. Petersmith4
eastmontschools@gmail.com.
Okay, Petersmith4 eastmontschools@gmail.com.
Yes.
All righty. We're just about to wrap it up here with you. And we'll just put forth the question, why should voters consider Peter Smith for a slot or a position on the Eastmont School Board?
Well, honestly, I think I'm at least worth a look. I've got a track record of public service. You know, I also served my country for 4 years. I've served my state for 28 years. Been Little League and firefighter and many other hats. I wide variety of things. So I think I have a variety of experiences to bring to the table.
All right. Peter Smith, our guest today, running for Eastmont School Board. We've got one more candidate to go in the race, and that conversation will be coming up another week or so. So, again, appreciate your time today. We will have a conversation about the conference Guada will host on an entrepreneurial panel where they are bringing three very different entrepreneurs from three very different businesses together for a conference. If you've been thinking about starting a business or maybe just newly have started one yourself, you might want to attend this conference. We'll learn a little bit more about that coming up just a few minutes when we're visiting with Jenny Rosanatha. Her name throws me for a loop every time. We'll get that straight here in just a moment. We'll tell you about the event coming up with Guada here just ahead on the agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560, KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Well, joining us in studio, we have from Guada, the Greater Wenatchee Alliance Technology Association.
It's a long one. It's the Greater Wenatchee Area Tech Alliance, but we just go by Guada to keep it easy. We're the folks who support technology in our region.
Yeah, it sounds like a exotic fruit, but Executive Director Jenny Rojanatha Tian. And Jenny, I'm sorry. I will confess, I mispronounce your name so often. I really struggle with it, so I'm just going to look you in the eye and apologize.
Well, I appreciate your apology. I know it's a hard one. Thankfully, my first name is very simple, right? So, Jenny, you can always keep it informal, and that works for me.
And also joining us, who is, I think, going to be one of our facilitators, Lindsay Weidenbach, who's a partner at the very well-known law firm. And I think I can get most of these names right. Jeffers, Danielson, Son, and Aylward.
That's correct.
I got it right.
Yeah.
I got it right. I think everyone fancies themselves an entrepreneur, but it's not easy. It's not an easy endeavor, and there's going to be an entrepreneurial panel coming up a week from Tuesday, June the 23rd. Guada's been putting these on for a number of years, right, Jenny?
That's correct. So since 2015, we have featured entrepreneurs in different panel conversations. And each time we hold an entrepreneurial panel, we pick a different theme or focus, trying to really not only stay relevant in the community, but provide resources and information that's emerging. So, for example, we've done a panel that's women in business, right? It's really important to support women who are starting their first company. We know that they've got some disadvantages in our culture over the years. So we've done tech companies. We have done innovator award winners. And this time we're doing businesses that aren't traditional industries for North Central Washington.
And we're going to tell you about the three entrepreneurs who are participating, their businesses. And Lindsay, as a partner in the firm, you work with a lot of these businesses that may be starting up. So you see the challenges. Tell us a little bit about, before we kind of dive in to the particular participants in the – what's the biggest thing that people get wrong when they – kind of decide, I'm going to start a business, and I'm going to go to an attorney, get my business plan going, but where do they maybe initially veer off the path to success?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it doesn't have a lot to do with the law. The answer to that is mostly time. I think a lot of folks come in thinking that they'll work less if they work for themselves, or they'll be able to delegate, and that's just not the case when you're first starting up. So it's really more organizational challenges. It's going to rest a lot on the shoulders of the entrepreneur herself or himself. And I think that's where people underestimate on the entrepreneurial side.
So they have even if they think that they're going to be working hard, they need to work smart, is the old adage. And let's maybe tempt some folks into attending this panel, because I think it's a fascinating group of businesses. Jenny, tell us about your three panelists.
Yeah, so we're really pleased to have Kyle Hendrickson from 4A Coffee, Allie Jordan from the Happy Crop Shop, and William Gant from Escape Tactics. So we have a non-traditional retailer, a marijuana-based company, and then an entertainment company. All three of these businesses didn't exist in Wenatchee if you look back 5 years. So, or I should say in North Central Washington as a region. So we wanted a chance to tap into these entrepreneurs' minds and learn about why they chose that pathway. Not only so, you know, we can learn and support them, but so others get inspiration and resources if they're looking to do the same, to be cutting edge and to pave a new pathway.
Well, Lindsay, we could say there's a million coffee stands. There are a lot of coffee stands. 4A Coffee is a total different business model, and maybe give us a little bit of a thumbnail sketch about why 4A Coffee is kind of a totally different concept, and maybe would be so challenging about theirs that I think the average person would go, boy, that is interesting how that works, and
right.
Maybe an idea or two about the special challenges they would face.
Yeah, and 4A Coffee is not open yet, so I haven't gotten to test it out. But the concept is that you'll be able to order your coffee over, you know, on an app over the phone and just drive up and pick it up. It's already going to be paid for through that app. And they won't be able to take orders, I don't believe. Right, Jenny? Over, you know, face-to-face.
Correct. And without speaking completely on Kyle's business model, from my understanding, it is all through online app ordering and then GPS technology that notifies the coffee shop when you're on approach so that your drink, if you're getting an Americano, is hot, ready to go. So definitely taking out the walk-up, the drive-up process that's just spontaneous. So that's very different than pulling into a different coffee shop and ordering once you arrive.
So you can imagine the challenges that would be. And Kyle Hendrickson is going to explain all that at this entrepreneurial panel. And that opens up a million questions, and of course, if you're thinking about, maybe starting a business and really unique kinds of twists on maybe a kind of a business that that you want to start up that maybe outside the traditional norm of something that may exist right now, you want to put a twist on it, I'm sure Kyle's going to provide all kinds of great resources.
Absolutely. One of the things I'm really interested to hear about is, you know, as Kyle chose this path, or all of our entrepreneurs, you know, how did they assess the market when this doesn't exist here in North Central Washington? And for some of it, maybe didn't even exist across the country. I know Kyle's doing something really cutting edge. Marijuana is relatively new to Washington State, has been in Colorado first. So I'm sure there was, right, entrepreneurs to learn from there, but not in Washington State. So when Allie started off, how do you know what the market's going to be in Washington State, and specifically in North Central Washington. So I'm really excited to hear Lindsay kind of pull these learnings out and what they expected when they went into business.
Real quickly, Kyle Hendrickson is with Mela Coffee. He owns and operates that, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what I believe as well, yes.
Okay. So, Lindsay, what are you going to facilitate this? Explain kind of your role in the event, again, next coming up a week from Tuesday, and how you'll facilitate the entrepreneurial panel.
I have, so part of my business practice and my practice of law is working with small businesses. And so I've been working with small businesses for 7-8 years now. And so I'm going to kind of take some of my experience on helping businesses grow and ask them about, you know, how they met those challenges, where their hurdles were, and help sort of facilitate that discussion. I love working with entrepreneurs. They are my favorite clients. They're always so excited. They have these great ideas. They're innovators. They're thinking outside the box. A lot of times, if they can't afford something, they have another fix for it. And so they're just the most exciting clients. And I'm very honored to be moderating this panel so that I can get to know these entrepreneurs better and help facilitate that discussion community-wide.
Let's pause here for just a moment. And first off, let you know how you can get signed up for this. If you're a GWADA member or not a GWADA member, maybe you ought to be because there's all kinds of great programs and events throughout the year through GWADA. Jenny, how do you get signed up if you are not a member of GWADA?
So you can go to our website, which is gwata.org, so gwata.org. Online, you will get the link to register for the panel. Online, you can also register to become a member, as you just alluded to. So we offer individual and business memberships that range from 100 a year to 500. And this panel for non-members is only $15. Because as a 501c3, when we're putting on events, the goal is to cover the cost of the nonprofit, but it's not about us creating a profit for ourselves. So we try to do things really low cost to the general public so that they can engage and have the opportunity to participate and not break the budget. If you're a GWADA member, it's free. And there are over 130 businesses in North Central Washington that are GWADA members, like JDSA Law. So if your company is listed on our membership, that means that you as an employee can attend all of our events for free or reduced price. So there's a lot of people who are members who may not even realize it.
By the way, it's next Tuesday, a week from Tuesday, July 23rd, 11:30 to 1 at the Confluence Technology Center. Lindsay, who do you think would benefit from this in terms of at least coming, whether they join GWADA or not? Who would benefit by attending?
Lots of different foray of people. Entrepreneurs themselves, professionals, lawyers, accountants, bankers, and both from a networking standpoint, but also all of those folks are entrepreneurs also, because lawyers, accountants, insurance, we're all selling something. We offer a service, and you have to generate that business. And so really anybody in those markets is going to benefit from this talk, maybe learn a few things, and especially for entrepreneurs, get to know people that are also going through the same pain points they're going through.
Another one of the presenters is Allie Jordan, who is co-founder and co-owner of the Happy Crop Shop, and of course they're in the marijuana retail business. The third one, and we didn't really kind of say much about it yet, but Escape Tactics, it's William Grant. Escape Tactics is you're in a scenario and you have to escape, and I don't really know much about it. I don't know if you can share too much about it. But this is an interesting kind of business. I think we've seen like these escape rooms. Maybe you've seen it on TV before. That is an interesting business venture, to say the least.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, I think something that I'm really excited to hear from William about is that's not obviously going to be a day-to-day consumer purchase. You're not going to go to an escape room every day. It's probably likely around an event or bringing guests or out with friends for a special occasion. So building a business model that's not on a commodity that's used regularly, I think takes a lot of bravery. And I give him a lot of credit for doing something innovative that wasn't here before. Without speaking to it, I know that he's kind of pivoted his business plan after opening a little bit as he adjusted to the market. So I'm excited for him to share that story too about what were his learnings in starting this escape room experience and what the market responded to locally.
My dad trains racehorses. He's been an entrepreneur his whole life. My brother is a commercial photographer, started at Hallmark, then went out on his own, hung his own shingle, and has been doing that successfully for years. I don't have an entrepreneurial bone in my body. So, you know, I have the genes in my family, but I don't have it, you know, and I really admire folks that can do that. And so I think that, you know, if you've thought about it in the past, you know, whether you don't have the courage or you just think, there's just so much that I don't know. You would appreciate attending this. Again, it's a week from this coming Tuesday, July the 23rd. It's going to be from 11:30 to 1 at the Confluence Technology Center. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish up with some more information and some other events, I'm sure, coming up before too long with GWADA. We continue on the agenda. News Radio 560 KPQ, 12:47 now.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Well, it's coming up in about a week's time, a little more than a week's time, a week from Tuesday, the upcoming entrepreneurial panel Get an inside look at three new and emerging businesses. And we've been talking with Jenny Rojanasatian, Executive Director for GWADA, and also facilitator is going to be Lindsay Weidenbach, who's a partner at the JDSA law firm. The challenges of developing an unconventional business concept, and I don't know that you could have come up with three more unconventional businesses. You've got a coffee stand that you don't pull up and wait in line. You've got there are a fair amount now of retail marijuana shops, but it's not a business for everyone to operate. And then you're put into a scenario where you have to escape. Those aren't the kind of businesses that everyone's thinking of opening up these days, but there are three entrepreneurs who have done that, and they are ready to share some valuable insights, and Lindsay is going to be the moderator. Another great program of GWADA, so I want to thank you both for being here. Let's talk about some other events coming up for GWADA, including tonight, Jenny.
Yes, so tonight, if you are out and about at 4:30, join us at Badger Mountain Brewery. We have Tech Talk and Happy Hour from 4:30 to 6. Every month we do Tech Talk and Happy Hour, and we do it the first Thursday of the month. But we had this little event across the country called 4th of July, so we got a little off schedule this month and moved it to today, July 11th. So we'll be down at Badger. Every month we feature two different guests. It's very informal. There's no program, and we're featuring the Young Professionals of North Central Washington, which is a networking group, as well as the Wenatchee Downtown Association, who's doing a Young Professionals Week in September. So really excited to have those two organizations join us. Free, if it's your first time, we host your beer. And if you're a member, you get a free beer. So we send a lot of enticements out there to have people come down and join us.
Tech and free beer, you can't go wrong with that.
Right? That's why we're the fun nonprofit. We try to always have a good time. And then on August 1st, we have our summer scholarship fundraiser. And we are raising money for STEM scholarships that will be awarded in September at the 19th Annual Innovator Awards Luncheon.
Alrighty, is it nomination time for Innovator
Awards?
It is
nomination time, and I know summer is busy, but we are looking for the community members to nominate in five different categories. We have two in business. One is for Entrepreneur of the Year. One of these entrepreneurs featured next week very well could be one of those winners. We recognize a company innovative in technology, and then we do three in education. So we recognize a STEM champion, a college student, and a high school student.
Okay, great information. Again, if you just go to GWATA.org, that's GWATA.org, you'll find a wealth of resources. By the way, we didn't give you a chance to plug your great sponsors for the entrepreneurial panel. It's set for the Confluence Technology Center on July 23rd from 11:30 to 1. The new and emerging industries, let me let you thank your sponsors for that event.
Yeah, well, we want to thank Lindsay and JDSA Law, who were eager to jump on and support this event. They're really passionate about supporting entrepreneurs and our nonprofit. We've been supported by JDSA Law for at least the last 10 years. I can't even think of the date because it's been that long that they've been committed to supporting our community work. So we want to thank them. And we also want to thank August Edge Real Estate for supporting and allowing us to put this community event on.
Okay. And my thanks for both of you appearing on the show today. I think it's a real interesting topic. Folks who are brave enough to hang out the shingle and do something. In this case, this theme was unconventional business models. And no matter what the business is, there's always something to learn for folks that are willing to take that risk and run that business, and all kinds of great information to be learned. Lindsay and Jenny, thanks for joining us today on The Agenda.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.